You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
In this episode, Toby Bloomberg and Janine Sessom lead a session entitled Women in Social Media, Finding Your Niche at SoCon 07, an unconference which took place February 10th, 2007 at Kennesaw State University.
So Marlene, why don't you kick it off?
Okay,
tell us who you are, what you do, if you blog,
okay.
And where you're from,
okay.
And whatever else do you need.
And then any other social spaces that you play besides blogging, you know, MySpace,
okay. Well, I'm Marlene Curley, and I work with Definition 6. It's a full-service interactive agency in Atlanta, and I'm their media director. I'm responsible for web analytics, media planning and buying, and search engine optimization. And I do not blog. I read some of them though, and I do not go on really on any social networks right now. I primarily read on the media news on a lot of different sites.
My name is Lee Cantor. I am the co-host of the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy internet radio show.
We noticed you.
Yeah.
We're like,
you got both of us. Yeah, Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. And
it's funny.
Hello.
We podcast weekly, and we blog about the podcast, and we also have an internet radio network where we help small business people podcast and broadcast.
Hmm. Yeah, and I'm basically the same.
Where are you based
out of? Sandy Springs.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the marketing guru. I'm just the expert in the fitness world, so he's the marketing guy, so he came up with the name and the whole concept. And
and you're the talent?
But he's the fitness expert. I'm the regular person who has difficulty staying compliant. That's
hard. PhD or MD or
DC.
So which one of you is eating the chocolate?
We both were.
I had two.
Exactly.
I had two. I had one.
Yeah, really.
And are you mainly podcast blog? You don't have a MySpace page.
We do have a MySpace page,
but we're not. I mean, that's part of why we're here. It's to we're not that technically savvy, and we're trying to find people that can help us take what we're trying to do and expand it.
Mm-hmm. And where do you want to go?
Ultimately, what I'd like to do is create an online community built around the characters Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy that has the business model. It's like a membership base where we sell information, products, and kind of the way that we do our show is a lot of the banter between us is what makes it entertaining and the guests we get. So we want to take that concept and take a topic like overweight children and what you can do, create a dialogue amongst ourselves, and then sell that information.
Yeah, 2020 last night. They did a story on overweight children. It's very interesting.
Dr. Phil did too.
I saw the empathy.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Okay, my name is Mika Pettigrew. Work for State Farm Insurance. I am a writer. And right now I'm just transitioning into more creative areas.
And are you based in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Are we all from Atlanta here?
Originally?
Yes.
I mean, now it's like today.
Is anybody from Atlanta?
Nobody's originally.
Yeah, I think we're all
here. Are you?
Okay, one more.
I assume State Farm's not blogging yet.
No.
A little risk-averse, are they?
My name is Will Powell. I've got a personal blog that I update very intermittently. I post more photos on Flickr and stuff like that. I've got some, professionally, I co-own some websites up that have coupons, localized coupons, northfultonshops.com. It's kind of a big one. It's been around for about 4 years. And I'm here today for this because this looked far more interesting to me than just about any other breakout session. And
what?
I know just for the women in my life, they seem 10 times more socially oriented than I am. Mm. I mean, I'm interested in, my wife always gives me a lot of grief for I'll meet with the boys and I'll come home and she'll ask, well, how's so-and-so's wife after the surgery? How's this? And
I have no idea, right?
Yeah, we didn't come up.
We didn't talk about that.
Guys, women are...
Yeah, they had a baby. What else did they
do? Yeah, we... But yeah, the guy across from me had a baby. Ooh, what's his name? And boy, girl.
They just covered your exact conversation on the Greg Barron show a week ago.
So, I mean, she talks to her family once a day. I speak with mine a couple times a month. And it's just so social. And so it just seems to me women are so more social oriented. And so, but you don't quite see, or maybe I'm just blind, but you don't see the adoption of. It's really not a technical issue, I don't think. I mean, the blogs are there, the technology's kind of there. It's just kind of moving everybody and getting them to use. I mean, every Christmas, I was thinking earlier, you know, we get this Christmas cards with, here's what we did this year, you know, and the fancier ones are printed out with a color printer with some photos from different friends and families. It's like, you know, this lady should be blogging. They should be, you know, I don't want to hear about it every December, kind of get your year-long story, but if you had a blog, you could check it out during the year and see your pictures from your...
I have a friend who actually did that this year. She posted a little miniature family website on her .Mac account, and she just put a link on her Christmas card, so if you wanted to read it, you went, and if you didn't, you didn't.
So it's more kind of, what can we do culturally, I guess? Mm-hmm.
Is your perception that there are more women blogging than men?
My perception is that there's probably more men blogging than women, but I may be wrong. But there's a lot of... Anyway, we can get all into that. I think there's different approaches.
Yeah. Well, my name is Deanna Sutton. I work for Duffy Communications as well. Well, a couple of years ago, I started my own magazine called Clutch Magazine. It was a regional publication in Ohio, Michigan, Chicago, some other markets. Did that for about 2 years. Was right out of college. It was really hard. I said, forget it. Going back to corporate America. So my background is marketing. I've been a marketing coordinator, marketing director. My specialty is multicultural marketing. And I have a blog. It's called Clutch and Lip Glass. It just talked about my relationships with guys and work and all that good stuff.
And fashion.
Clutch and,
fashion.
Cool.
Clutch and Lip Glass is my favorite lip gloss from MAC Cosmetics. And pretty much that's it about me. I am on MySpace. I look at everything. I'm just like, if you give it to me, I'll check it out. I'll give everything a chance. And I'm actually relaunching Clutch in April as the online medium, since the trend now for online publications is that everyone's going online and, you know, advertising is declining in print. So I think the smart move is to be online, and that's what I'm doing. And I'm just here today to learn as much as I can to help implement for myself as well as my clients I work with at my job. That's all.
That's a lot.
I'm Kyle Young, and for those I had lunch with, I'll have to repeat myself, but I'm hosting a new online women's community, multitaskingwoman.com. So please check it out. We are basically, the site is really aimed at empowering women and allowing women to connect with each other more, you know, what you're talking about.
Is it a social media site?
Yes, it is. And I'm here really to just learn more about building the community. It's all very grassroots. It's all very word of mouth. I kicked the site off October 14th, and when I helped sponsor a conference here in town with WellStar Health System called Speaking of Women's Health. There were 1,200 paid attendance at the conference, and 749 of the women signed up for the website. So it was a good kickoff. I probably got around 2,000 women in my database right now, and I know that's really small, but it's a start.
That's pretty good.
What functionality do you have? What social media functionality do you have?
We have everything on Chris Klaus's list, except we're not doing events right now.
Do you like working with Haystack?
Excuse me?
Chris Klaus. Oh, okay.
On his list.
Okay.
I'm sorry, his list.
I was thinking Haystack. I was thinking Chris.
Oh, yeah.
No. We have a forum, we have blogs with the women's profiles up so that they can network with each other. We have small banner advertising.
How big of a company are, how big of a group are you that's doing all that? Or do you outsource?
I do all the writing, because that's kind of my background. So I'm a writer. I do have a web group that I work with here in town, Webify.com.
Did they build your platform, or is it off the shelf?
No, they built it for me.
Wow.
when I built it, it was very important to me because I own three other businesses, and so I had to have it to work for my life. This is basically just an extension of the way I live my life. You know, I'm a big networker. Yeah, I'm a big networker and I always have been. And I love, you know, we were, Deanna and I were just talking about, oh, we know this person, we need to get together. So it's really a forum to do that and to enable other women to do that with each other more easily. So when I worked, this web team is here in Atlanta and they're headed by two partners, business partners, Jessica Jones and Josh Axton. They're over on Roswell Road in Marietta. I found them through a friend. But basically, I worked with them to develop the site so that I've got a huge admin area and anything I can do anything, any time of the day or night on the site all by myself if I want to, which is really nice.
Can I just ask, do you guys mind if I get a little bit of literature? Anybody mind?
No.
Are any of you guys?
While she said that, can I also ask real quick, can everybody please be sure to speak up when you speak, because I'm recording this for the podcast, and that's if you're all the way over there and you're not speaking up, then we won't pick up what you're saying.
But this is, it's my passion, and, you know, this is what, I hope to be able to do this full time at some point. I still, right now, I still do marketing consulting with my clients and have these other things going on.
Oh, that's a hard act to follow. I moved here 2 years ago from San Francisco, where I was a dot-comer. So I went, I rode that way up and rode it right back down again, like everybody else on the West Coast. And when I moved to Atlanta, I basically needed a new identity. So I went back to my roots, which was writing. And so basically, just through a whole series of networking, all of it kind of informal and through webs and blogs and so on, I've ended up just doing a whole number of very conventional media things in the Atlanta market. So I'm doing everything from press releases and press campaigns to writing web content for, you know, fairly complex corporate environments to, writing for community magazines to, I wrote for a while for a state government organization. So kind of a little bit of everything. And I have a big interest in all leading edge technology kinds of things. And I have to say, I'm still trying to come up with a rationale for blogging. Because quite honestly, even though I write for a living, I cannot imagine blogging. I just can't imagine wanting to spend more time doing that in my time, which is for all the other fun stuff, which is real life. So it's funny because I've even done corporate consulting work, you know, around big companies that are trying to get into the blogging business, and I understand the rationale for it. I myself have not done it and can't quite get there yet. So
maybe we can talk about that.
It's an interesting problem, especially for women who are talking about it.
Yeah.
Judy Knight, sorry.
I'm Mark Anthony, and...
Real Keith.
Yes. And I teach English. But, I got my Master of Arts in Professional Writing here at Kennesaw State, and that's how I found out about it. Back to this morning's conversation was through an old-fashioned listserv. Mm-hmm. And... I wrote my thesis on blogging as genre because one of the more prominent, and my concentration in that was in rhetoric and composition, so I was writing about it as a rhetorician, and I'm working on my PhD at Georgia State in rhetoric. And in my thesis, there's a prominent rhetorician in our field named Carolyn Miller who talks about blogs as genre because she defines genre as a social action. And to get real technical, she defines it as a recurring exigency in social settings that demands some kind of means to meet that. So the question is, what's going on? What are people needing that blogging's providing? Mm-hmm. And in my thesis, I end up disagreeing with her. I don't think blogs are a genre at all. I think they're a medium, a new medium, because like a book is a bundle of technologies. You know, making the paper, doing the print typesetting, all the different technologies going there. So is blogging. It's just a bundle of technologies that provides everyone with the same medium to do different things. And then you end up with citizen journalists or filtering blogs or personal journal blogs. Those are the genre. So anyway, and in studying all that, it gets a lot into identity formation. And that's why I'm here, because you have that word on the wall down there. And making meaning, making identity, interfaciality, the idea of the computer screen as both a veil to hide behind, and it's also a a mirror to see yourself in, and is also a open window to show people who you really are or not, which we all go through this of identity and this, the whole social, you know, question of what the social needs are that are being met, or new social needs and situations being invented either. So.
Mm. That's interesting. New social needs.
Okay. My name is Amber Ray. I'm the co-founder of the Georgia Podcast Network, and we recorded the sessions in the auditorium this morning. We're recording a lot of these. So again, please speak up when you speak. I've been blogging for about 5 years at my personal blog. It's got a complicated URL, but it's Being Amber Ray is the name of it. It's R-H-E-A, if you have any interest in looking at it. I'm very interested in blogging, podcasting, social media, and especially as far as women being involved in that space is concerned. I think it's a fantastic way for us to start really talking about a lot of things and breaking down a lot of preconceived notions, stereotypes. You said you think women are more socially oriented. I think that is a oversimplification and a stereotype that needs to be broken down, and through this medium it gives us a way to do that. We can all have more of a realistic, multifaceted voice, and that is my abbreviated rant on the topic.
Women are socially different, but only sometimes. Women are more social, they're social differently, but we have a professor at Georgia State who's done a usability study on how people use the web, and the way she did it was according to gender, but rather than assuming that who she was speaking with had a feminine or masculine gender, instead she applied a test that did an inventory of their gender, and there are four possible genders on the test. One's feminine, masculine, agender, and non-gender specific, which are two different things. So then she gave the test and classified how people use the web by how they did the test. So there were feminine men and masculine women according to this inventory. So she removed physical gender from her whole equation, you know, basically because she's a feminist scholar and wanted to debunk exactly what you're talking about. That.
But the fact that she would assign certain characteristics to be feminine and certain characteristics to be masculine regardless of actual gender, something else that I would question. But I don't want to derail
myself. No, but she doesn't do that. She uses a classic existing psychological test, which, of course, she's actually not buying into it. She's using it
to disprove
its own validity as well as the whole idea of thinking that way.
And the two Mac people have to get out their old-fashioned writing instruments to sign
it.
Yeah, tomorrow.
That's funny.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do we say who we are, Toby?
I guess. Well, for
the fingers more.
I'm Janine Sessom. I've been blogging since 2001 when I started Blog Sisters, blogsisters.com. And that has grown in the ensuing years to about 100 women members. There's no invite, there's just if you're a woman blogger and you want to be able to write on Blog Sisters, you just send an email and you're on. So it's been an interesting experiment and experience with Blog Sisters over the years, because it tends to rise and fall in participation, in what the topics are, in how good the writing is. It's a mixed bag, but it's been fun to watch. I have no business model for it. Do not at this time intend to have any. So unlike Blogger, which I'm a contributing editor and advisory board member for, that does have a business model. I'm not always apprised of what it is, but and my own blog is Allied, which is a blogspot, so it's allied.blogspot.com. And I started that one in early 2002. And you know, the gender stuff back then we wrote a lot about, because there were fewer women blogging, there were more men blogging, and the men who blogged then tended to be more personal. Except for the political bloggers, you know, the war that went on very early before the first Bush or the second Bush, I don't know what election it was. So there's a lot more punditry now, I think, and punditry has an advertising value to it, so therefore it begets more. But anyway, that's who I am, and I guess we can take the rest of the stuff, however this discussion goes.
And I'm Toby Bloomberg. I blog at Diva Marketing Blog. I've been blogging since 2004. I started Diva Marketing Blog as an experiment. And if I had it to do all over again, I might have done it very differently. I had been talking about blogs. I do workshops for small businesses and marketing wannabe people. And a friend of mine said, you cannot talk about blogs unless you do it. And I said, I can talk about anything in marketing I want to. I don't have to do it. He said, blogs are different. And so his name is Dana Vandehugel. And Dana had been blogging for a while. And so I said, OK, I really need to understand the process. So I launched this blog. It was, the title was taken from an online column that I had with an online publication that since is defunct. And I wanted to do something with the writing. My writing is it's a little irreverent sometimes. It's a little fun. It's a little girly.
Quirky.
A little quirky. But I decided if I was going to write about marketing stuff, I wanted to make it fun. So I launched this blog, and within literally days, I had people contacting me through comments on my blog and comments in emails coming back to me saying, welcome to the blogosphere. I was really glad that you're here. And all of a sudden, I began to get it. And I began to see that it wasn't just me putting up a website. It was me talking to all these people talking back to me. And I've been in the online space since 1997. And one of the reasons that I was excited about going into interactive marketing was because I thought finally there was a way for us as marketers to interrelate with our customers. You know, mass marketing is taken online now, it's all falling apart. But there's not a one-to-one relationship when you have so many people. And it just obviously didn't do it. You know, you could send out an email, but that went into a black hole. All of a sudden, social media, now we call it social media, before it was just blogs, give you the ability to literally talk to thousands of what Chris called today many to one, really on a one to one basis, and what I call build corner grocery store relationships. So all of a sudden, I had a platform to talk to people who wanted to talk to me back, and then it just grew from there. So that's my backstory. And Janine was contacted by our friend Josh Hallett, who we both met blogging. And Josh said to Janine, oh my goodness, we realized there were no women on our program.
That never happens at blogging conferences. That's a joke.
So here we are, and
here we are.
Can I ask a quick question, please? In reference to what you just said, Toby, about starting your website, or sorry, starting your blog, and then all of a sudden having lots of people contact you, how did that happen? Did you do some search engine optimization, or you just put it out there?
I did everything wrong, but I didn't know it at that point it was right. Okay. I wanted the name Diva Marketing because that's what the column was.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get the URL.
Right.
Because it had already been taken, so I tagged it Diva Marketing Blog. Well, anybody that knows anything about search engine optimization knows that that Diva Marketing Blog, the marketing and the blog is next to each other, and when people link to me, that increases the leverage point of the algorithms. So if you want to play around, go into Google one day and Google Marketing Blog, Diva Marketing will usually come up second. Every once in a while, it's third. Every once in a blue moon, it's first, but it's third today.
Did you say Google Diva Marketing?
Just Marketing and Blog.
Oh, just Marketing
just
and Blog.
Just Marketing and Blog, or Blog and Marketing. And the first guy is Lee Oden, who is a search engine optimization guy, so he should be first all the time. But
that proves, again, that on the one hand, you can't trick Google, but on the other hand, if your title really is what it is, they won't knock you off because it's in there either.
Right, and it's relevant.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, and my content is relevant to what I'm writing about.
And it's updated currently, and Google weighs that.
And there's no better way to get good Google than just to have content that matches what you promised.
Right, right.
And updated a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then have it linked from relative
anywhere, as long as it's not a link farm.
Right.
Right.
Say that again. Y'all are saying a lot of things very quickly here, and I'm trying to write.
The search engines love three things, and this is what I learned very quickly. I sent Dana off an email within a week, and I said, Dana, my blog is so high in the search rankings, and my website is not. Why is that? And Dana said three things. HTML. Mm-hmm. Search engines love HTML. Blogs are pretty much pure HTML. They love fresh content. And you blog fairly frequently. And then they love inbound links from relevant websites, mm-hmm. except for link farms.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what link farms are?
I do. But what were some examples of inbound links that you experienced? Do you remember when you first started?
Well, it's when you start the conversation. It's really starting a conversation with others. And then you're linking to them, and other people pick up on that same conversation, and they're linking to them and you. And the sum total of the conversational links boost up your relevancy.
And so most of the people that link to me are writing business and marketing blogs. So
right.
That's why the high ranking. So. But you asked another question. I don't know if I answered it.
No, I was just kind of interested in all of a sudden you start this thing as an experiment, and all of a sudden all these people are talking to you.
Dana started linking to me, and Dana welcomed me on his blog.
Uh-huh.
And he had a fairly high readership.
Okay.
And again, it was 2004.
Right, which was early.
2001.
It was early. Yes.
So the community was a little bit more. But I'm still finding that, you know, if there's a new blog that comes up and it's a friend or somebody that you really like, and if you welcome them.
Toby's really generous. Toby's a generous linker. There are people who are generous linkers, and there are people who are not. Mm-hmm. They kind of hold them hostage, and it's mostly the, you know, well, a lot of the Technorati Top 100 men, some, aren't as generous with their links as I think, like you are. You're a good example.
You are too.
I try to make it. It's not. I feel like otherwise it's a magazine, and which is fine. But that's not what I want my blog to be. If I'm going to be talking about something, I want to draw people in from around, you know, everybody else who's writing. So
could I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Sorry. When you say you want it to be a conversation, what do you personally get out of that? All these anonymous people.
They're not anonymous for long.
True. But what is it? Is it a feeling of satisfaction, of changing the world, of making a difference? I mean, what are you trying to accomplish?
I would say, the bad thing about having been blogging as long as I have is that blogging has evolved so much that I would say my early needs and wants and what I got out of it is very different from it is what it is now. Early on, there wasn't Google Ads, there weren't a lot of business models popping up around blog. It was strictly friendship, belonging, banter with smart people, common interests, you know, things that you care about, and suddenly you're literally allied with a whole bunch of people that have the same interest in you, and you become family. I mean, I talk to these people on the phone, too. One of my best blog friends, Chris Locke, I talk to him almost every day. We now have a shared client together. I've had shared clients with other bloggers. So as it's evolved for me, it has then extended into meeting people at conferences, talking to them on the phone all the time, you know, going into other social spheres like MySpace with them, watching their children get born, you know, all those kind of things. So initially, belonging maybe, and finding my voice, my own voice, because I was a traditional PR person. I come out of Ketchum and have a long trail back in tech and marketing PR, and always was writing for other people to make money. So this was the first opportunity where coming out as myself. In 2001, I had one Google search result on my name, and it was from participation in a forum or something. And today, there's usually somewhere around, do Janine Sessom, there's usually somewhere around 300,000 or in quotes, and no one else has my name. So in a span of however many years it's been, it's getting longer, 5, you know, that's going from 1 to sometimes close to 500,000. So I've built a brand, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you spell it?
Okay, Jeneane Sessom, Sessum.
To piggyback off of
the last name one more time.
S-E-S-S-U-M.
Well, you come up in the drop down.
Drop
down. 419,000.
Almost a half a million.
There you go. Wow.
So, in essence, what started as belonging has ended up into building a brand. I mean, it really, you know, and which also happens to go with what I do for a living. So, that's my personal experience.
Just to piggyback off what she said, it is really a brand, and it's really about building relationships with somebody. For me, I talk about things from about Laguna Beach, the hills, or marketing, or just anything that I, you know, want to talk about. I find other people that are like me or like to have the same interest, and then they make a comment, and then relationships are built. And then for me, with the magazine aspect, they trust my opinion, they trust what I say, you know, like what I like, so therefore they're probably going to be a potential client or customer. But it's about, it's a platform as well, you know, for me to talk about maybe homelessness in Atlanta. I can make a comment about it, and just being able to reach one person, maybe that's changing and helping. So it can be used as a platform, a business, any type of platform, all different niches. Mm-hmm. So it's really good. And establishing identity, they know you personally.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That just brings up several questions and possible debates for me. If you're doing blogging to build community and trust and intimacy and all of that, and then all of a sudden now you talk about building brand and having potential clients, I'm wondering how your readers and others are going to feel about that shift in thinking, and whether that's going to seem ethical or right to them, or whether they're going to feel perhaps like it's become a predatory relationship.
Can you clarify, do you mean that if you're using it, or if potential clients are reading your blog, then the assumption is that you are altering what you're writing to appeal to the clients? Is that what you're saying? Or,
well, if it's not a...
Saying about the readers.
If you're not starting off as a business blog, if you're starting off as, this is Mark Anthony's blog, or whoever's, and it's me, it's, I'm relating to you, and then... Right. You know, over the years, the Google ads show up on the right, and then all of a sudden you're a blog consultant, and then these are you're selling.
Oh, see, mine is a totally different aspect. Mm-hmm. Mine is Clutch and Lip Glass. So Clutch is my magazine that started 10 years ago. So in Lip Glass, just talking about, you know, what I like, what I don't like, and bringing in other aspects of marketing and things. So I was very upfront and honest about, you know, this is a magazine blog. I'm trying to get my magazine started again, as well as I'm talking about this guy, my date with him, and marketing and all that good stuff. So if it was different, if I was Deanna Sutton's blog and I talked about, you know, just regular old things, then I'm like, oh, I'm starting a business, you know, but from beginning of the blog, as always.
And that brings up a problem I'm having right now, because I didn't do a blog till after I wrote my thesis on purpose. So I wanted to write my thesis and research it as a blog consumer, not as a blog producer. And then I have a blog finally, but now my problem is, you know, who am I? Do I need two blogs? Do I need three blogs?
Well, I think things are changing now in the new media space, and that's a concern that a lot of people have, and certainly it has been for a few years, but I think it's becoming less and less of a concern, because now the push is really for transparency and the importance of transparency. And some people are still concerned about, well, if I write this professionally, but this is my personal life, how does it look for them to be related to each other? But, and it's a different point for everybody, how you can get over that mental roadblock, you know? And some people might not, but things are changing and it's all coming together, and that's what's meant by transparency in the new media space, where there isn't just this compartmentalized, this is my professional blog, this is my personal, this is you.
I would love to do that, but people get fired for that.
Not as much anymore, though. Things are changing.
They do in universities.
It depends if you have your alignment with your company, like per se. You know, it's great books about corporate blogging. I know two or three. I can't think of the authors right now, but it kind of have the guidelines of corporate blogging and, you know, going to all that stuff. So I would just check that out. But, you know, I think it wouldn't be a problem if you just, you know, say you had your own side business and, you know, they already know you personally. Maybe just talk about you and your wife or whoever it may be, relationships, as well as just bringing, oh, by the way, guys, I'm starting this, and it offers you support, and maybe someone else is going through that as well, and they can, you know, have dialogue with each other.
When Janine and I first started to talk about this conversation that we wanted to have with y'all, that was the direction that we were talking about. How do you merge a personal, your personal identity into a business blog? Exactly what your question was. And so Janine did a little bit of research, and she looked at some men, and she looked at some women.
Yeah, well, I, you know, my when we talked about it on the phone, and mind you, we've had 2 days, maybe a day and a half to think about this session, but I started thinking how it's of the visible men and women that a lot, that like Mike Arrington, for example, who's obviously very well known by.
Do you know who Mike Arrington is?
TechCrunch.
TechCrunch. Oh, yeah. He has TechCrunch.
No, TechCrunch. I just can't remember his name.
Right. So, like, he segments TechCrunch as his business stuff. And then Crunch Notes is a little more personal. If he's going to go after somebody or have, you know, an issue, he generally takes it over to Crunch Notes. And then you look at Stowe Boyd, and he has, you know, his message blog, where he does his reviews and his stuff, and he gets a little personal over there, but on Ambivalence, he's writing songs and stuff, you know. So I've noticed that whether that's something that they're doing consciously or whether they don't feel comfortable merging their two selves or what that is, I was hoping they'd drop in the comments, but I didn't check this morning. And then I started to think about Scoble, because those are the top three that always come to mind. Well-publicized male front, male tech front. Robert Scoble, he tends to do both on his one. He is that brand, Scoble. So that's when I said Scoble blogs like a girl, because I was just trying to do it. But I think from the get-go, I think for me, you know, I am who I am on my blog. I was writing about the problems in big PR and with public relations at the same time I was with Ketchum, had a blog, and only some people in Ketchum knew that I had a blog, even though I was trying to get them to blog. That whole issue of is it better to segment, I've gone up and down about that. I've always had a live. I started other blogs, like I started a poetry blog on Janine.net, and I thought I'll move all my poetry over there. Because some of it's about really sensitive stuff, you know, family stuff, childhood stuff. And I did for a while think, maybe it doesn't belong over here. But then I never really took it off my sidebar. And then I started another blog, and I thought, well, I'll use this one for just marketing. And then I never did anything with it. So, you know, I think it's a good question to discuss. Should you, shouldn't you, does it matter? And is there a difference between men and women? Is it a... or how long you've been blogging, or what your career is, maybe. Those are some things we could throw out.
Yeah, and we both actually blogged this issue on both of our blogs and got comments back. Can I read you a couple of the comments that I got back? I printed some out. First one that hit me was...
I can check right now.
Yeah, you can check. I don't subscribe to blogs, I subscribe to people. So that was really telling. And then somebody else says, if you don't let some of your personality through, how is your voice any different from any one of 100 other people writing about the same thing? So, but that doesn't address the fact of personal. And then she goes on to say, we've been conditioned by experiences to draw this line, even if it feels artificial. And this is, of course, compounded by the fact that we know that what goes online stays online. So once you put something online, it's cached unless you can figure out how to uncache it.
But you can't get it. You can't get it off of the Wayback Machine if it gets there.
That's when I hear the voice of my mother going, don't ever say anything that you wouldn't want to see printed in the newspaper.
That's how I'm on my blog. Say it to their face.
So let me read you this one, and maybe we can talk about this comment. This was from Nidra. She writes a nonprofit blog, a very good blog. She said, I know I enjoy getting little tidbits of information about my favorite bloggers' personal lives, but there are very few blogs that I read for that reason. As long as the content doesn't turn into a personal diary, I'm fine with it. So, you know, what she's grasping with, as long as it doesn't turn into a personal diary, I'm fine with it. So she's reading business blogs for information. She wants to get a sense of who you are, and she reads because she was the one that says, I read people and not blogs. But at the same time, She doesn't want to know what you have for breakfast necessarily, unless it relates back to a marketing strategy. So how are you guys handling that? Because I would imagine that meshes for you.
Well, remember, our objective of our site isn't a personal diary of what we're doing. Our podcast blog is a recounting of the show, and I try to incorporate my voice in it. Our show is us. That's raw. Our podcast is more of a personal blog. I mean, we talk about what we did this weekend. We talk about, you know, what we had for breakfast. But so our listeners get to know us as people. And I think, as Amber said earlier, it's about transparency. We're not trying to manipulate anybody. We're not trying to be something we're not.
Yeah, we have to be real because we're giving our opinions. I'm giving my professional opinion about a particular product or book or something, and I've got to be honest. And it's the honesty that we're trying to capture in terms of making sure that people know that we're for real.
And it's credibility. It's we have to, if we think something is a scam, we say it's a scam. I mean, then that's our opinion.
Right, it's
our
opinion.
The way it is. And
but do you tell me what you had for breakfast?
We talked about it. Well, you know, what did you know? We talked last week. We talked about it. I went to Longhorn and had these fries with cheese and.
But your health and fitness and nutrition, so that makes sense.
Right, exactly.
It makes sense for me to talk about.
We don't necessarily want to know, about your last trip to Men's Warehouse, though.
But does it matter more what other people want to hear about? Like, it's like, who are you writing for? Are you writing for yourself, or are you writing because
you want to
give people what they want to hear?
But the difference is like, for instance, we may not talk about we went to Men's Warehouse unless something really funny happened. Mm-hmm. So, like,
And that's the balance, is it's ultimately about what we want to talk about, and we're hoping that our listeners find that educational and entertaining. I mean, we're writing for ourselves. We're not trying to be something for someone else. We have a point of view, like we feel strongly about. Like, if anything we say regarding weight loss or fitness has to be scientifically based. We're not into fad stuff. But if something happens, like we had a guy on that had a Shangri-La diet. It's, you drink sugar water, and it was like, it was a best-selling book, the Airtime best-selling. The Freakonomics people got behind it. So we were talking about it. So I started doing it. Now, that's a bad diet.
Was it an experiment, or because you thought it sounded good?
It sounded good. We had the author on. He told me how to do it. And I'm like, look, I can drink sugar water. Let me see what happens, I can take a fight with that.
What happened?
I lost weight for a period of time, but then, life happened, and I got off it, and I came back. So, but I talk about it. So we're just trying to be ourselves as best we can, and we hope it resonates with people.
But what's the name of your show again?
DrFitnessInTheFatGuy.com. For Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy.
See, that just sort of begs the whole thing of, even though you're bringing your real self in, it's still a constructed persona at the same time, even if it really is you to the reader. It's a show. Because everything exists in a rhetorical situation, and even as the audience, we come to a blog as audience. And so we're going to automatically examine, just to use the tools of my trade, your ethos and your logos and your pathos, your credibility, your logic, and who how you appeal to us emotionally and who you say you are. We're going to automatically make determinations about what your purpose is. And yours is fitness, but in a personal way, just like, Emerald's cooking in a personal way. So you're bringing personality to it, but you're not blogging about, you don't have your kids' baseball pictures there necessarily, that kind of stuff. I'm saying, and
it's still following the focus of your topic. I think is what
it's very. I'm just saying, there's still a purpose to what you do that drives what you do.
Right.
You're trying to.
I mean, you wouldn't go on and like blog that you had a fight with your wife, would you? Unless it was over a banana cream pie.
Right.
Or unless it was funny in a way that helped you break ice and talk about.
But Robert Scoble would do that. Robert Scoble would blog that he had a fight about a banana cream pie with Miriam. Would he not?
Yeah, he would. He probably would. He's a personality. Then you get into what's entertainment and what's sharing and what's,
and people, and people would want to read that just because he's the one saying it.
Right? Everything is about relationships. If I don't trust, for instance, I'm a big reader of Toby's blog, just her personality in the blog, she can talk about going to Target and getting a cute cardigan.
And
I'll
Toby
still trust
went.
Her
okay.
and your marketing expertise. So it's just about relationships. all this, you know, are based on that. So if you trust
them. Let me throw a grenade in here then.
Let me say one thing first. Yeah. I think on that point, there's a lot of people confuse getting personal with, you know, with blogging about personal stuff. I mean, you can be personal in a way that you're not talking about your sex life, you know, overtly, or maybe you are, whichever way you go. But you still share a certain sense of emotion, of pain, of joy. And I call that writing from a place rather than writing about it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to always write about dinner, but you come from a place that's satiated or whatever, and you, as a writer, first, you grab that, and then you come out and you post, and you write from that place.
You know, I blog, and I'm a pretty new blogger, really, and I'm in awe of all this experience y'all have, but I blogged back at the beginning of November because one of my biggest clients was going home from work, and he was killed in a motorcycle accident right here in Cobb County. He's the CEO of WellStar Health System, which is one of my big marketing consulting clients. I blogged about that on Multitasking Woman on my site because, to me, one, it was very important, it was very personal, he and his wife were very good friends of mine, but it was also a major wake-up moment for, you know, life happens and then sometimes it doesn't, you know? And I personally felt like that was important for me to blog about on Multitasking Woman, even though that's my
topic.
You know, to me, I don't blog about it unless I can find a way to relate it back to what I feel like my main topic is. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of business bloggers feel that way. I feel that way. I wrote a blog about what we're talking about today, and I posted photos of my mom and dad. And there's a backstory, you can read it. And then I told a little about their story, about how they met and so forth. And it was really the first time that I had ever done that. I talk about my dog all the time, and I talk about little things as it relates to marketing. And I said to Janine, this is really a stretch for me. It's quite a different direction. And I found that I was a little uncomfortable doing that. But I left it up because it was on somebody else's blog. I'd given it to him. He was doing something on men who served in the service, and I'd given him a photo of my dad. And I told him the backstory of why my mother was in the picture, and he put it on his blog. I didn't tell him not to, but then I thought, wow, this is interesting. I should put it on my blog. But
yeah, that it showed up somewhere else rather than your own blog.
Yeah. But then I have to tell you what I did. I closed the post up with bringing it back to a marketing issue and to a blogging marketing issue. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've done it again. And I should have said at the end of this, oh my gosh, I've done it again, but I didn't. So
now you did.
Now I did.
Well, it seems to me that the way to clarify this is to say that I'll bet that on your blog you're not going to endorse a presidential candidate.
I would.
Well, I mean, on this one.
Oh, on
there? On there.
You know, on your podcast or your show, are you going to tell people who you're voting for?
Yeah, we usually don't get into our...
Because you might alienate part of the audience who have a shared health need, right?
Well, it's just not...
I mean, right. I mean, there's only so much time.
Yeah.
I mean, it becomes a function of this is what we're talking about. This is the space we're in. I mean, there's a gazillion things we don't talk about. I mean...
Well, it seems to me that we already do these things. We live our life in more than one persona, most of us. When we go to work, we're still us, but we're the work us. And so, you know, if you're at your office, if I'm at my office is in a university where I'm supposed to be able to speak about anything, because universities are supposed to be that way, that's not true. We're not going to talk about, you know, too much about our personal religion or what we think yours ought to be. We're not going to talk about certain things. We might talk about more in that setting, and then we go home and we might not talk to our family about certain things from work because we don't think they're interesting, and we might not feel comfortable, like you felt a little uncomfortable writing. And so to me, it seems that it's the same thing, like if you were working in a corporate setting and then you decided to become an entrepreneur and you're in your home office, you experience the same thing, because all of a sudden all of your personas have collapsed into one place, and while you're trying to be the business person, your child runs in and asks you to see their drawing, and
But the fact of the matter is, you are all those people. That's all who you are. You're not this person and this person. It's all you are. I think there's about, this is my opinion for me, and one value that I personally see in blogging is bringing all those things together. And I'm real big on transparency, real big on not having compartmentalized parts of my life. And other people might not use blogging in that way, but for me, it's very important.
One of the interesting things that happened to us with podcasting and blogging was, when we got into doing this, we did it as a goof because we thought it would be fun. And what we found out, and we were two guys talking about health and fitness, and we thought our audience would be guys. Wow. And what we found out, it's total opposite.
Yeah. Really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a total opposite. And we would have never have thought that in a million years.
Did that change your approach in it when you learned more about your audience?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't change it in terms of what we talked about, but we now know who we're talking to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How'd you find out now?
Chris, we also do an e-newsletter.
Just the subscribers to the newsletter were 80-20 women.
Yeah, you actually ask that as they sign up.
I always see their names, unless they're lying about gender.
Or unless I have a name like Toby.
Or Kyle.
That's right.
Or Pat.
Yeah. Interesting.
That is interesting.
We have about 7 more minutes before, I guess, we...
So we want to make... Fast.
Yeah, it is. So we want to make sure that whatever we haven't discussed, there's another issue that you all want to talk about.
Yeah, this corner of the room. Have you got any of your gender social mashup issues?
Mashup issues.
I like that.
Address.
Social mashup issues.
Just fascinating.
Yeah.
I have this one quick question, because you're talking about people posting to your blog. I've been finding on mine that I get a lot of emails from women about things on the blog, but they're not posting comments to the blog. Do you have any feedback on that?
Sometimes when people are not familiar with the medium, they'll email you and they won't post because they're uncomfortable to have their words in a public forum. Sometimes they just want to connect with you on a one-on-one basis. So you might have a lot of new people that are reading blogs that are not comfortable. What you might want to do is on your sidebar or some sort of a linky thing, talk about what comments are and how you want to get a discussion going. And how to comment.
And like some people are afraid to push, because they don't know they're going to preview it first or not, and then they might get,
Are they not sure of the etiquette? I've had several people that were new bloggers ask me, what's the etiquette of posting a comment? And there is a whole etiquette behind it. I mean, obviously you want to be on topic and...
Excuse me, sorry to interrupt, just a reminder, we'll be changing in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, and I did get one woman said, I wanted to say this to you, but I wasn't sure if I should post it because I didn't totally agree with what you said.
So
I guess she thought she was going to hurt my feelings or something. I don't know.
Here's another idea that people are doing. They're turning comments into posts. So you might want to comment back or send them back an email and say, do you mind if I post this? And we'll continue the discussion on a post.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or would you comment back? Would you take that and would you place it in the comment section so that more people can read it?
There's a new site out to augment the blog called CoComment.
Yeah.
Where you can take your comments and really actually turn them more into a discussion forum. Because the RSS feed the comments only over to their site. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a blog lines, but only for comments.
What is that address?
It's called CoComment. So they have a little thing to add it to your blog so people can use it and sign up for it. And then what you do, if you're a commenter on blogs and you're not a blogger, so you're not doing a link back conversation, you have your own site there. When you pull it up, it'll have the 10 or the 100 conversations you're involved in, like a forum, and then you click on it and you'll see the original post and all the comments there, so that you can go in and participate in this conversation with your favorite bloggers without having to go to each site.
That's neat.
But when you post a comment, it does go on their site.
What's the name of the game?
CoComment.com, and so it's new. I just heard about it because I saw it on some of the blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Double check that for you. Yeah, that's it. COComment.
So I have a question about women in blogging. Do you see more an increase for the increasing, you know, blogs are coming from women? Is it going to be more like fashion, or you think it's going to be more business blogs? What do you see as far as the trend happening in blogging for women?
I mean, I see it across the gamut, just with people that say, hey, can I be on Blog Sisters? It's some are politically passionate, some are just like to write, some are fashion lovers. There's a whole social shopping. The social shopping thing is big right now, and I have actually a client in that segment. And I think you're going to see more content about shopping, fashion, all that being rewarded monetarily through various mechanisms on sites, which will probably perhaps get more women and men who like fashion to participate in that kind of thing.
So, and when you say rewarding economically,
I think so.
As advertisers, or?
You know, there's one site I know of that has even tried to come up with a business model where participants are rewarded through purchases on products that they've recommended. So,
right. We have a good friend of our show who's come on many times. And she's got a newsletter called hungry-girl.com. And she has over 200,000 daily subscribers to her newsletter. That's daily. She puts it out 5 days a week. Now, I've talked to her about blogging, and she just doesn't see the relevance to herself of what she's doing, because hers is turned into, she's monetized what she's done. And she's getting, you know, when you have that many people linking up, and she's giving her opinion on the latest, you know, things, like it's the onesie twosies, like the latest lean cuisine, mm-hmm. you know, the latest, you know, Starbucks drink. And she's making money from her endorsements, and she has such a powerful influence. Mm-hmm. And when she comes on our show, our podcasting, our viewers to our show goes through the roof.
Is she here in Atlanta?
No, she's in LA, and she's on Extra. She's a correspondent for Extra.
The thing she doesn't understand is how she's limiting her audience in today's environment, because she built a online business model that's a Web 1.0 business model, an e-newsletter that she sends out, in other words.
Yeah, 5 days a week.
And so what that means is unless you know who she is and you get her newsletter, you can't find her content if you're someone else, like Googling or reading blogs. And what people in the past who had those successful newsletters have found is that when they switched over and made that a blog entry that people could still subscribe to, they got all their existing readers stayed, and then they got all these new readers that found them, because now it's findable content on a static web page to a permanent. So,
isn't it ultimately, and I think, I really can't hear the women speak, but I just want to put my two cents. Isn't it ultimately the blog owner, owner's choice to decide how, what kind of content, what channels they want to distribute it in, and so forth? I mean, I was in the entrepreneurial thing there, and I kind of had to leave because it got way, I mean, you know, it's very testosterone driven in there. We want to build the next app and have it financed. How do we get that done? And that's cool, but that wasn't what I was interested in. But, and so a lot of what they're talking about is really the 1, 2, 3 step. This is what you need to do, then you do this, and then you do that. I'm more interested in, you're an individual and you want to express yourself in whatever way. How do you connect to those people, and what pitfalls you may run into, and so forth and so on.
I think the number one thing is like cross-linking. I mean, for me and my blog, just being able to like put my blog link on maybe like a bagsnob.com, which is like a really big, you know, talk about purses, or another one's called Steel Style. Like herself, she's like in DC. She's like intern for like W Magazine. She does all these things. So just to be, have my blog listed on her blog. People are like, oh, well, she must like me, so they check me out. So I think cross-linking is very important.
And I think the blog role, you know, there's been like a death of the blog role in the last several years, where fewer and fewer people are making it part of their blog. In the early days, that was the way that you found your community and your community's community and your community's. And, you know, I'm a real big proponent of keeping a blog role. And, you know, a lot of people I see dropping off are the people that already have an established brand, you know, they're the Technorati top, whatever. And so, you know, maybe we need to start a blog role revival or something. It's not fair. It's not fair that people just started blogging that they have to somehow end up in some high-level conversation with, you know, Mike Harrington or Doc or whoever to get the kind of traffic that will get them noticed initially, you know. So anyway, that's my call for today. Bye.
One more thing that I just want to talk about before we're running over is I launched a site called Blogger Stories where I tell the stories of how social media and blogs have touched people. If any of you want to tell your stories, just shoot me off an email and I will be happy to put them on.
Interested in podcasting? Want to mingle with other podcasters or learn how to get started yourself? Then mark your calendar for PodCamp Atlanta, happening March 16th through 18th at Emory University. For more information and to add yourself to the registration list, visit podcampatlanta.com. And by the way, it's free.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on magnitude.com. Thanks for listening to UnconCast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of UnconCast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.